Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And we are typically joined by Charles Robinson from 8 to 8.30. A little bit of a schedule adjustment this morning, starting things off at 7 o'clock. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Charles, thanks for being flexible with us this morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Charles, I hear you have some things to say on the Lamar Jackson front. I am very curious to get your thoughts on the non-exclusive franchise tag that has been given to Lamar Jackson and whether or not you think collusion could be involved in all this.
Oh, God, this collusion stuff. Yeah, I'm curious why some of the same people who I saw rip the Deshaun Watson deal, who's, oh, it's just such a terrible deal. Like, why would they do that deal? Awful, stupid, just desperate. Are now saying that, why aren't you giving that deal to Lamar? can't you be smart? I mean, I don't know. Can't you sit there and go, well, yeah, we're not going to walk in the footsteps of the Cleveland Browns. Like, maybe we're smart enough to know that that's not a successful path, you know, to having a good football team. And by the way, everybody lies in the NFL. When Deshaun Watson was down to four teams, of those four teams, three of the four teams had earlier said, people in the organization had said to me directly, yeah, we're not going to be involved in that. And then they were involved in it. So I just, I don't understand the bandwagoning that happens, you know, with Twitter and social media, that as soon as something happens, it's just got to be this big nefarious, you know, thing. Like, and on top of that, there is some logic to sitting there and going, why did the Ravens do this? There's no poison pill deals anymore, so we can't do a deal that they can't match, unless we just absolutely nuke it. They're probably going to match whatever we do, so why are we going to break their logjam? That's part of why the Ravens did this. They're trying to get him to talk to a team, you know, agree to some terms, and then, yeah, very likely swoop in and match the deal anyway. So people just need to calm down. The league's not colluding against Lamar Jackson. The league, if anything, is looking at the Deshaun Watson deal and just saying, that's a pretty stupid deal, and most of us wouldn't have done it, and we're not going to let them set the table for us.
I was expecting you to start yelling and screaming. I promised a Robinson rant. You're very calm and measured, Charles.
It's too early, man.
Do we need to start talking about Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah,
exactly. Start talking about Aaron Rodgers.
An hour later.
Start talking about your childhood of watching the Detroit Lions. Okay, so sticking with Lamar, I'm with you. I mean, I just – it doesn't really make sense. And, like, that level of deal – it doesn't make sense for him. I mean, if I was just individually, I'm on an island, any of these teams, I'm like, I'm not, you know, I'm not doing that. But what do you think? So you believe that the Ravens are just like, now go see, you can go see for yourself, and then they'll be like, okay, great. Yeah, we'll do that. Absolutely. We'll match that deal because he's not going to get anything close to what he wants.
Right.
But what do you think he will, like, what do you think that is?
Well, okay, so if we're working off of the five-year, $250 million deal that he supposedly turned down with $133 million in guaranteed money, it's still a league where most contracts that are in line with any thought whatsoever are three-year deals. So to me, probably 5 years, $250, $150 million guaranteed probably makes the most sense.
That doesn't suck.
To me. I mean, no, it's a great deal, and if you structure it, you know, correctly, he could very well earn the fourth and fifth year of it. I mean, especially if you pay out 150 in the first 3 years, you're probably going to stare at the last 2 years and go, yeah, why wouldn't we follow through with that? So, and frankly, for him, his best football has not been the last couple of seasons. He's been hurt the last 2 years. You know, it's, I think that very much is an offer that, he should be happy to sign. I don't, this whole idea of the fully guaranteed deal, And frankly, I don't think it matches at all what's happened the last 2 years for him. And again, when his best football's been played, and some of the realities of Baltimore's franchise, they're not the Browns. They don't do dumb deals like that. There's a way too, I think, to kind of split this. So let's say he sits there and he says, look, I can't do the 150 guaranteed, you know, there's just no way I'm taking less than what Watson got. And I actually had a chance to talk to an agent about this, and he said, look, a fair compromise would be to say, all right, we're going to do the 250. That gives you $7 million a year more APY than Deshaun Watson. So he's getting 43, you're getting 50. And the guarantee, let's just make sure you have the second highest guarantees, practical guarantees in the history of the league, which would be like 190. I think Kyler Murray's practical guarantees were like 189. That right there is legitimately easily the second best contract in NFL history. And again, you get to say, I'm making $7 million more per year APY than Kyler Murray. It's a win for everybody at that point when you walk away.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Charles, Jeffrey Simmons is a big focal point here in Nashville with the Titans in terms of whether or not he's about to sign another contract. I'm interested. He's deleted his social media entirely now. It started with unfollowing the Titans on Instagram, which is apparently now the thing to do. I guess I'm just curious from your vantage point, that strategy. We've seen it with A.J. Brown last year. We saw Kyler Murray do this in his contract talks with the Cardinals. Jeffrey Simmons doing this. Like, what do you make of, I guess, the modern way of negotiating from these players, and how effective do you think the social media part of this actually is when it comes down to the players doing this?
I scrubbed all the photos of Joe Rexroad off my social media years ago, and he still hasn't noticed.
Oh, boy. I mean, your social media got a lot less sexy.
Yeah, this is now how guys deal with this. Whether it's, you know, Kyler Murray, I mean, obviously A.J. Brown, that was something that Titans fans saw that happen. I don't know. I mean, whatever. I don't really get it. I guess it's the passive-aggressive way to deal with this. You know, Kyler Murray put the Cardinals back up when clearly he had taken him down. He's in the middle of the contract talks. And I think it's the passive-aggressive way now that generation sort of sends a message. And social media, look, I'll say this. We're talking about it, right? It draws in the attention without them, and it gives them plausible deniability. Well, I guess once you delete all your social media accounts, it's less plausible. But, initially – these players do it, and then they come up with these stupid reasons why they did it. And, you know, what are we really going to say? I guess it would be better than bad mouthing the team outright or, you know, something that's more damaging. But it's a contract negotiation. He's not going to get Aaron Donald money. They're not going to pay him $30 million per, but I know that Chris Jones is probably sitting there going, yeah, can you pay him 25, 26? That would be awesome. Like, let's take the second place spot amongst interior defensive linemen, and let's see if we can slide it north of 25. Tough deal to do, especially if this team is, I don't know what to think. I mean, the Derrick Henry, I know Mike Silver, and I think he's probably right. I'm sure they'd be listening to offers on Derrick Henry. I think if you're going to move a player like that, there's probably a sizable chunk of your roster maybe over the age of, 25, 26 that you're willing to move, that signifies to me a little bit of a reset. And if I was a team, I would be inclined to call. I'd be like, all right, look, if you're going to move Derrick Henry, that doesn't feel like a soft reset. Let's talk about your best player on your roster at this stage. So, again, let's look at free agency. Here's a good, actually, barometer of this. Jerron Hargrave's probably going to be top three or four free agent out there for a lot of teams, right? Interior defender. I think he had 11 sacks last year. I would watch what he gets and probably add about 20 to 25%, to that contract. That's probably the Simmons deal.
Well, on Henry in particular, Charles, what do you think that – Henry would fetch right now. I just feel like there's so many teams out there who, as great as he is, that don't necessarily want to do things the way the Titans have done them. And obviously, you know, 29 and $10 million and all that stuff. What would be the interest level?
You know, there's a reason why everyone's pointing at Buffalo, because it's high mileage. It's a position that no one wants to, you know, no one wants to invest anything in acquiring running backs. And the sensible aspect of it, and I thought of it initially when I heard that, I'm like, oh, okay, so let me think in my mind what teams, you know, you have to be in your Super Bowl window now. You have to be a team that, you know, could be turned, if you're not there now in terms of your ability to run the football, you could be turned in that direction during the course of this offseason. I think that's Buffalo. I absolutely think that Buffalo is a team that makes some sense. And again, the acquisition to me is 1 to 2 years. That's really what you're looking at the age that Derrick Henry's at. And I'd be stunned if a team's like, yeah, we're going to acquire you and we're going to redo your deal in the midst of it. Like, most teams don't want to take on any $10 million running back at all, let alone one that's got high mileage or in his late 20s. But if I can tell you this, if you're going to move him, this is it. This is probably your last opportunity to do it. I just don't know. When I look out there beyond Buffalo, I don't know who else really makes a ton of sense. I don't see the Falcons. Like, usually it's like, okay, ex-coach, you know, who's going to come and get this guy? But the Falcons, it just doesn't make a ton of sense to me. You're not in that window. It's just a player you acquire now to put you over the top. And maybe if the 49ers hadn't already acquired Christian McCaffrey, that's a team I would point to. But I don't even know if he would necessarily fit them the way McCaffrey does.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. We've got more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. And Charles, a lot of people in New York watching planes fly out to Southern California the other day as Woody Johnson and the Jets brass went out to meet with Aaron Rodgers. Diana Rossini reported this morning that the Jets are optimistic that they're on the brink of landing Aaron Rodgers as their next quarterback. Do you think that Rodgers to the Jets is a foregone conclusion at this point? And if the trade happens, what do you think the compensation for the Packers in return looks like?
Well, I mean, that's the stick up. So what I think has to happen now is he still has to have a conversation with the Packers. From my understanding, that has not happened yet. But that, you know, basically there's going to be a conversation about the direction of the team, and then he's going to make his decision. That's sort of what the Jets are waiting on. I heard that the visit went really well. It's not a small sticking point, but there's some disparity inside the Jets organization about how willing they are to give up, you know, significant assets, I guess, of what you and I would consider significant. The general manager, Joe Douglas, is, I don't want to say cheap, but he is notoriously conservative in terms of what he offers out of the gate for players. Like, for example, when the Tyreek Hill deal was on the table, with the Chiefs, the Jets got involved. He didn't even offer a first rounder for Tyreek Hill. And, you know, I think by the time it was done in the aggregate, if you had added up everything you'd offered, you could have maybe considered it a first round pick. But this idea, I know early on, I don't know if it was Peter King or who it was that put it out there after talking to Woody Johnson, that, oh, you know, maybe the Packers can get 2 first round picks for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I can't even imagine how that would happen at this point. You have to pay the guy. You're talking about really one season, maybe 2 seasons max of performance. I know that they think that their Super Bowl window is open now with a good quarterback, just a good quarterback. I think they think they're a Super Bowl caliber team. But man, it's just, I just can't imagine Joe Douglas saying, yeah, sure, let's give up a couple first-round picks for this guy. It's, you know, maybe one,
I could see Joe Douglas saying, okay, we'll surrender one because we got to pay the guy. But anything beyond that, that's definitely something that's being driven by Woody Johnson. It would be crazy to me if you saw anything more than a late first-round pick given up for Rodgers at this stage.
And so you're not going to get pissed about this either, huh? But we have the 7 o'clock hour, Jim.
I gave everything I had on Rodgers already. I'm like, let's get it over with already at this point. It'll be intriguing if he goes there. Yeah, I just want it to be done with. But I'll say this, it'll be intriguing to see how he manages, you know, expectations there, because it's not that there aren't expectations in Green Bay, not that it's not a fishbowl, but let him, you know, go to the Jets, and if they get off to a slow start, he's going to get shelled immediately. And, you know, he is sensitive, whether he wants to, you know, admit that or not. And I would like to see, you know, how he would handle a set of reporters there, beat reporters and fans and everybody else that would waste no time absolutely ripping him to shreds if he didn't get off to a quick start.
So, Indy, of all the things, you know, conversations, things you saw, you know, things you found out, what's the biggest takeaway for you from Combine Week after it's all said and done?
We keep saying over and over how important college tape is, and then the second somebody comes and works out the way we know they're going to work out, we're like, oh, my God.
Thank you.
Changes everything. Like, it's funny because the further we've gotten away from Anthony Richardson working out, the more, you know, you just talk to evaluators and they're like, you know what, we all knew he was going to have a ballistic workout. We all know that, you know, size-wise and everything else, he's you know, there's a lot there to love. But then you go back and you once again say, huh, did I miss something? Let me watch the tape again. And you watch him throw it into coverage. You watch really inaccurate throws, spraying it all over the place. And you just sit there and go, how on earth could anyone actually have said, yeah, he's potentially going to be the number one overall pick over Bryce Young? Like, it's even if you have issues with Bryce Young's size, and it was funny because I think Nick Saban kind of took a poke at Anthony Richardson at one point. I don't know, he was talking to somebody, he has some podcast, and he just sort of described Anthony Richardson and just basically, you know, I'm paraphrasing him here, but said it was like a joke to even consider a player just because of the measurables and what he does in his shorts a better, you know, potential quarterback than Bryce Young. But it happens every single year, and it particularly happens, you know, with quarterbacks. So I'll be curious to see. I do remember Jordan Love. Feels like a lot of people don't remember this. I do remember Jordan Love when he came out. As the process rolled on, there was this idea that Jordan Love, you know, had all these tools, and there's this and that, and oh, he's, you know, he's flying up the draft board, and he's potentially going to be like a top 7-8 pick. And then by the time that everything was done, people looked at his tape again and said, ah, too many questionable decisions here. There's just, you know, too much, there's just too many raw elements of his game that have to be finessed over time. And that's how he ended up sliding down further in the first round. I'm curious to see if that will happen with Richardson. So,
Charles, what do you think of Derek Carr to the Saints? What does that do for the NFC South? And if Rodgers goes and he's in the AFC with the Jets,
yeah,
the difference in quarterback play from the AFC to the NFC is just kind of amazing to think about.
Yeah, just keeps getting worse, really does. I mean, the NFC, it's kind of wild. It makes sense. You know, I would have put Carr in like a dome atmosphere. That was the thing when he was talking about the Jets. I'm like, look, the Jets said it would be no problem. Hey, playing in December and January. Okay, I just think he's built to be a better player in a more controlled environment, playing, you know, in warmer cities, not having to, you know, trudge through just horrible weather for 2 months. I mean, like, Josh Allen's kind of built to be that sort of player that plays in that environment. I don't think Carr is, and I understand the shot that the Saints took, even though look at their cap situation. look at everything they're working with, like that team still, I think there's going to be more stripped down there. I'm still trying to figure out how Mickey Loomis, the GM there, is making this work financially. And, you know, Michael Thomas, we don't know what we're going to get with that. Alvin Kamara, have no idea what his legal future looks like next year. But look at the rest of the NFC South quarterbacks. And everybody says it. I mean, but I'll just reiterate it. There's automatically they have the best quarterback now in the NFC South. And, you know, that'll mean something. And they should be able to win that division with him. And if they can kind of do a micro rebuild in the next couple of years, having to cut some salary, it makes sense. And I think it makes sense for Carr as well. I don't know, though, beyond the Saints. And clearly he was behind in the priorities in with the Jets. So let's say he waited it out and that Aaron Rodgers ended up with the Jets anyway, and then he had to make his decision. I don't know where else he was going to get the money that he got, you know, from ultimately ended up getting from the Saints. So man, I'll tell you what, Daniel Jones got, some of these contracts, if you had told me back in, you know, August, what Geno Smith, Daniel Jones and Carr would end up getting when he went to the Saints, I would have been like, you're nuts. There's no way. But it's where the quarterback money is going, I guess. It's going to be wild when we see Joe Burrow sign for $55 million a season, and it's actually the Bengals paying him.
Well, that was my next question, was does the Daniel Jones deal in particular make sense to you?
I guess the real numbers, you know, when you consider it's a 3-year deal, he's going to make like 37 to 38 million over 3 years. I can rationalize it if you sit there and you go, okay, New York was a total mess when he was there for years. That's not his fault. He had multiple coaches there that were terrible. And as soon as he got a competent coach, he played better. And Brian Daboll, I do believe, can help him improve year on year. So, I think he can still improve next year under Brian Daboll. So if you're getting a better player than you had last year, and then I think if you're the Giants and you factored in really as a 2-player package, because remember, by signing him, you could franchise Saquon Barkley. So Saquon Barkley's healthy next season, and he plays under the $10 million tag, and you signed Daniel Jones, you're really getting Saquon and Daniel Jones for what's going to work out to be roughly about $48 million. If they both are better versions than they were in 2022, probably worth it, actually, you know, in that division. You can probably continue to play well with those two guys. But there's a lot of pressure now on Brian Daboll, because if there's any one of these contracts we look at and it can just absolutely look horrible in a year or two, it's the Daniel Jones deal.
Charles Robinson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Thursday morning here on the program. Charles, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Joe, I promise you I will bring everything next week. I'll find something to be angry about, and I will put all your photos back up on my social media.
Just make sure you have the one of me quarterbacking with a cigarette in the mouth, and that's really the only one you need, man.
One of the all-time greats. One of my favorite, like, versus Don's like, who's this like 42-year-old guy who you went to college with?
Just beautiful.
Slander. Thank you, Charles.
See you, man.
All right, see you guys.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. A whole lot to react to there from Charles. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in today and tomorrow for updates from the SEC Men's Tournament on 1025 The Game, brought to you by Toyota. Buy at Toyota.com. Ready, set, go. Get your Toyota today. Toyota, let's go places. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for joining us in the last couple of segments. Lots there with Charles. Interesting to get his thoughts on the Lamar Jackson situation. The collusion part of this has been a little bit ridiculous. Like, Jared played some audio from Chris Canty on ESPN that was like yelling about how could Deshaun Watson get this contract and then you not think that Lamar Jackson is worth that contract. And it's like, well, because
that's the point.
Deshaun Watson is completely – the contract is completely stupid. That's how.
Yeah. And look, I understand Lamar Jackson's perspective on it. Like, okay, well, that's – he's getting that, then I should get that or more, right? I get it, but he shouldn't have gotten that. That's exactly the whole point. This is why everybody's still mad at Jimmy Haslam. So, like, if you're any – again, any individual owner looking at this, and there are questions about Lamar Jackson. I like him. He's very good. I would like him to have him as my quarterback. The durability of the last couple of years, it's not trending in a good direction. The one playoff win, I'll say this about Lamar Jackson. There's a lot of discourse about all this week. Tell me how many playoff wins Justin Herbert has. Because, you know, there is some hypocrisy out there with the Lamar Jackson. Yeah. It's like, what has Justin Herbert is just the golden boy who does, oh, he's amazing. He's great. He's elite, but Lamar isn't. So, like, I get some of that stuff. That bothers me, too. But I wouldn't give. I mean, look, I totally agree with what Jared said yesterday. If I'm breaking the bank to that extent, it's for Mahomes.
Exactly. Burrow.
Yeah. Allen. Maybe. You know, I mean, that's the problem. And I think it's going to play out just how Charles said, is like there's going to be an underwhelming offer. And yes, there are teams, like Charles said, like everybody coming out and saying, yeah, we're not interested. Like someone's going to make a run here, and then the Ravens will happily match it, and there you go. And then we'll see, like, how it goes with Lamar and the Ravens and coexisting and all that stuff afterward. That will be another big question about this.
The Aaron Rodgers part of this, it looks like the Jets are emerging as the favorite in this thing right now in terms of, you know, he's still got to, I guess, make the decision as to whether or not he's going to retire. Now, I'll say this. If he's meeting with the Jets, like, to me, whether he's announced it or not, he's not retiring. Like, if he was going to retire, why are you taking a meeting with the New York Jets? Like, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So, it feels like it's going to be Packers or it's going to be Jets at this point with Aaron Rodgers. We heard Charles talk about it in the last segment. He still has to have a conversation with the Packers and then kind of make a decision for there. If it ends up being New York and he goes to the Jets, how does that change the balance of power in the AFC in your mind? Does it change the balance of power in the AFC?
That's a great question. I mean, all eyes will certainly be on the Jets. I think back to, like, Favre, and the comparisons will be obvious. And people will be like, hey, Aaron, don't send any text pictures.
Yeah.
But I don't recall the Jets. Yeah, they were good, though, when Favre went there. They were good. I think they thought that he was going to make them a contender. It didn't work out the way they hoped with him. I got to say, I do like the Jets. I like the Jets roster. I like their weapons on offense. I like their defense a lot. And I like their coaching. So, that's the thing. It's just going to be on Aaron Rodgers. Are you still elite? Are you elite? You won a Super Bowl 13 years ago. You've been failing in the playoffs even when winning MVPs.
Yep.
Can you come in here to a new place, make it your own, and take this team there? I mean, it's the number one, to me, story. But it's funny because I think last year it was like, oh, Denver. Oh, my gosh. Is it going to be fun in Denver? And then we saw it happen. I don't think this would be that, but it could be disappointing.
Well, look, I still think he can play. Like, I still think he made enough plays last year even while being hurt where you're like, okay. Yeah, I mean, that guy can still play. So if he's healthy, I think he'll play and he'll play well. I like the roster around him. You know, I like Garrett Wilson a lot. I think he's a good receiver. I do question, like, is there enough experience there? You know, playing with him is difficult. Like, I think it's pretty clear. Like, playing with Aaron Rodgers is a difficult thing to do for young receivers. How does that mesh up together? But, like, roster-wise, depending on what they have to give up, which I don't think is going to be a lot as to what Charles said in the last segment, like, their defense is still really good. If they had average quarterback play last year, they're probably in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If they get elite quarterback play, which is what I think Rodgers can still be if he is healthy, then, I mean, the AFC East is pretty interesting to me at that point. Like, Tua, Dolphins look like they're sticking with him. Obviously, the Bills are there. You've got the Patriots, who, if this happens, like, they could be falling behind.
Fourth.
Could be
fourth place.
And then the Jets, where, if like I said, if Rodgers is more like the Rodgers we saw 2 years ago, then they're going to be right there, I think.
Yeah, I think they've got very good. You know, the Bills are going to be really good, especially the Bills. I mean, the Bills with Derrick Henry, they're going to be tough. Yeah. I must tell you.
Yeah.
That was interesting, by the way. I mean, I tend to agree when you really look around. Like, it doesn't necessarily fit what they do. But what if they did have him with everything else they do? If you could make that work.
It would be interesting. Like, you wouldn't need him to be what he's been here.
No. Like, but he could still be a weapon for you.
He could still be a weapon for you. And
it's a fire and ice kind of thing.
I mean, you could at least have, I guess, the option at that point of running the football with somebody besides Josh Allen, which they've really not done. I mean, Singletary, he's okay. But, I mean, it's not Derrick Henry.
It's like kind of like what we would talk about with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. I mean, Josh Allen and Derrick Henry also some read option.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I don't like tackling either. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it would be.
So, anyway, that'd be the.
I mean, it would be really fascinating to watch that happen. Well, like, you know, Rodgers, if he goes to the. I mean, that's another thing if you're the Titans you got to think about. Like, right? We've talked about Mahomes. We've talked about Burrow. Like, if you're going to compete for a Super Bowl, you have to get through all these guys.
Don't have to beat them all.
Well, that's true. You don't have to beat them all. But you have to get through this conference where quarterback play, especially if Rodgers comes over from the NFC, I mean, the difference in quarterback play already, but especially if you add Rodgers to it from the AFC to the NFC is just absurd. Like, it's unbelievable. Brady retired in the NFC.
It's incredible. Titans need to hope that Woody Johnson had a bad trip, and the Jets end up having to, you know, beg for Tannehill.
Maybe so. Rob from Clarksville says, I'm shocked that the Dolphins don't make a push for Derrick Henry, considering what all they already have on offense. This is from Rob from Clarksville. I don't know if they stylistically add up. But, I mean, what a combo that'd be. You have Waddle and Hill on the outside, and then, oh, by the way, we'll just turn around and hand it off to Derrick Henry.
I'd watch it.
I mean, I'd watch it. That's for sure.
That's not a terrible – I think with any team, he could work. You know, it's just like they're not going to do what the Titans did. But,
right.
But he could still be effective. But, again, if you're that team as an extra piece who could give you a change of pace and give you some power running and maybe, you know, you want to pay $10 million for
that? I was about to say, you paying that price for that?
Right. That's the problem.
Maddie on the text line says, relax will not fly in New York. If he goes, he has to be elite. Talking about Rodgers.
That is true.
I mean, if it's bad early, to Charles's point, it could be rough. Got a texter that says, what year will Rodgers be in Minnesota?
And I answered 2025. I think that's right.
Following a very similar path if this happens to Brett Favre.
Let's hope he doesn't move to Mississippi after that.
Well, let's hope he stays away from that. I got a feeling he's not going there. So we'll see what happens on that front. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. We'll do that next. Make sure you check out Nashville's Best Deal this week. It's from Seafood Sensation, often imitated but not duplicated. It's Nashville's original seafood restaurant. While supplies last, grab half off a $25 gift card to the Seafood Sensation located at 2209 Murfreesboro Pike in Antioch, and enjoy some of your favorite seafood dishes like their crab legs platter, grilled salmon, and much more. You can check it out at thegamenashville.com/deals. Gift card is only good for their Antioch location. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I scrubbed all the photos of Joe Rex Road off my social media years ago, and he still hasn't noticed.
Oh, boy. I mean, your social media got a lot less sexy.
You know, I will, and I will put all your photos back up on my social media.
Just make sure you have the one of me quarterbacking with a cigarette in the mouth, and you know, that's really the only one you need, man.
One of the all-time greats. One of my favorite, like, first, Don's like, who's this, like, 42-year-old guy who you went to college with?
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Some nice comments from Joe Rex Road and Charles Robinson earlier in the program.
Anything I say will be used against me by Michelle.
That is true.
Basically.
Next time I'm just going to use the one where Charles says, who's that 42-year-old guy with a cig in your mouth? Who do you go to college with?
Smoking makes you look older, kids.
Yes, it does.
Don't smoke. I have things I could rant about. Like right now we have, I think we have 8 teenagers living in my house right now this week. It's been great to have them. Many of them down on spring break from Michigan State.
It's a significant
eating
number.
Us out of house and home, which is all fine. Just, you know, please don't leave a packet of cookies for the dogs to get into. To where right now Gus and Quinn are probably squeezing who knows what all over my house. Other than that, everything's cool.
Good.
Okay? I don't really have any complaints. But today, this was so good that I just have to play this for everybody because it's just so good. So I feel bad because I usually like to give credit. I don't know what this quote's from, but this is Dylan Brooks of the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm going to read the quote to you, okay? Dylan Brooks, Memphis Grizzlies, about Draymond Green. Here's the quote. Quote, I don't like Draymond at all. I just don't like Golden State. I don't like anything to do with him. Draymond talks a lot, gets away with a lot too. His game is cool with Golden State, but if you put him anywhere else, you're not going to know who Draymond is. He plays with heart, plays hard, knows the ins and outs of their defense. I guess that's why they like him over there. End quote. Woo!
I like that.
Spicy! And now, let's hear Draymond's response.
This idiot said, I don't know what Draymond does out there. He said, I don't like Draymond at all. You don't know me. I just don't like Golden State. I quite frankly wouldn't like a team that beats me all the time either. I don't like anything to do with them. Quite frankly, you were a little kid in high school watching us win championships. Should be happy that you even witnessed that. Or maybe college, but you get the point. You're a fan. Draymond talks a lot. You talk a lot now, so if you have 4 rings... Sure, you talk a lot more. For All-Stars, you probably talk a bit more. Defensive Player of the Year, you for damn sure would talk more. 2 Olympic gold medals, you definitely would be talking because that would mean you beat Team USA, and we all know how that goes. So gets away with a lot, too. What exactly do I get away with? I have 15 texts, one less than your dumb ass. Okay, great. His game is cool. If you ever wondered why the Memphis Grizzlies is not ready to compete for a championship, look no further than this idiot right here. They're actually depending on this guy to help them win a championship. And he says his game is cool. Quite frankly, that just shows how little you know about basketball. And yet, y'all, you running around talking about a dynasty? The dynasty starts after you, not with you. He plays with heart. Knows the ins and outs of the defense. I want to be quite frank, I made the ins and outs of our defense. I guess that's why they like him over there. I'm trying to figure out why they like you in Memphis. Or do they like you in Memphis? That's a better question. I'm not sure your teammates like you, but I can tell you why they like me over there. When you contribute in the way that I have contributed to 4 championships, they tend to like you. So, next time you speak up on me, you should do some fact checking. Next time you speak up on me, you should do some soul searching. Next time you speak up on me, I hope you're in a better situation than you in now, where the guys you play with actually enjoy playing with you because they actually think you're contributing to winning. Because it ain't happening right now, champ. Ah, you're not a champ. You're a clown.
It was longer than I thought. That pretty much just took up the whole segment. But, I mean, come on.
That's like the complete opposite of what you ranted about yesterday with hockey, not having any personality whatsoever.
Exactly. This is what we love. This is what we love, okay? And yes, I'm biased. I understand that. And Draymond, you know, can get a little, you know, he can get a little, boastful, maybe?
Feisty.
Yeah, I mean, be a little boastful. But, I mean, was Draymond wrong about anything in there?
Nope.
I don't think so.
I don't think he told any lies on that. I will say this general idea, and I've had this argument with other like people in media and things like that, the idea of, because Draymond, you know, Draymond's going to be a Naismith Hall of Famer without big offensive numbers. He's not you know, obviously a great offensive player. This idea that it's just because it's Golden State he's good is, yeah, it's a perfect fit for him. But Draymond Green as a defensive player on any team in this league would be a massive difference maker. And I think that a lot of people just don't care about defense.
I agree. Now, having said that, they're winning championships, yes, in part because of him. But if he's not with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and the team that they have as a whole, do as many people know about Draymond Green? Probably not.
Yeah, that's
it's
fair.
A good.
That's fair.
It's a. I'd say I agree with you. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Should be a Hall of Famer. It just he's in a great situation.
He is, but the defensive aspect of them is underrated, especially with a couple of their championships, and then look.
Well, his absence in one series, I think, directly cost them another one.
Right, and that was on him. Are you talking about 16 when he got?
Yep.
Yeah, no question. No, and that was on him. So I mean, it's all great. But another thing that people don't realize is that he's their point guard. He is their offensive point guard. That's what it's just a unique situation. There's no question. Klay and Steph. I mean, it's like nothing we've seen before. You start with them, but there's a reason he leads the team in assists too, because he is the guy who actually runs their offense. It's a very unique. It's an evolution of basketball, positionless basketball. And a lot of people can't handle it. And I just need one day. I need Draymond when he retires. I really need Draymond and Charles Barkley to share a set.
Oh, me too.
I mean, I need him to join inside the NBA. But the, I mean,
it's happened at times.
Yeah,
but
it would be amazing on a regular basis. Yeah. It also, I think, could lead to
physical altercations,
fist fights. Yeah. Yes,
which would also be kind of awesome.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Not been a great week for the Memphis Grizzlies. I mean, really different reasons. Like
yeah.
The Dylan Brooks thing is not anywhere near as serious as what we talked about with John Morant the other day, but
no,
he did just kind of get scorched there.
And I got to say, I like the Grizzlies a lot, and we talked about John Morant. Hope he's not getting charged. Hope he figures it out. Dylan Brooks has been a guy who for years has the shot selection
it's
with him. He's a good defensive player. He's a good player, but man, he can drive you crazy.
Yes, he can.
And this one probably should have just not said anything at all.
It's been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll get back into NFL free agency. What should the plan be for the Tennessee Titans? Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.